And welcome to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman, and co-hosting with me today will be Mike Gregg and Yanis Shenaeus. In this special episode, we'll be discussing the breaking news that Slavisa Jokanović has signed a contract extension with Fulham. Along with that news, we also have the news that Tony Khan has been appointed vice chairman and director of football operations for Fulham. Boy, we've got some really interesting news. Before we do anything, I have to welcome my co-host back to the show first. Mr. Janaeus, how you doing?
That's the best I can do for Tinky Winky. I am very well. Thank you, Russ, and thank you, Mike. I hope everything's good there. The weather here is spectacular. It's 17 degrees.
That's great. It's actually very warm here as well. All right. I look forward to talking with you, Yanis, but before doing anything, I have to welcome Mike back to the show. Mr. Gregg, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing very well, and seeing as we're doing weather reports, I can tell you that Great Britain is being battered by a storm called Doris. You know, I'm not sure if you've ever had a hurricane or anything attack America like that, but yeah, Doris is causing havoc and very windy over here, yes.
Oh, that's very interesting. I was not aware of that. So thank you for the weather updates. We got weather updates from three locations. Fantastic. All right, guys, we have breaking news all over the place, but we have to start with this breaking news because this is huge news. And Mike, I'm going to start with you, but I'm going to read some information first. This is directly from the official Fulham website. It is entitled Jokanović's Contract Extension. And I'm just going to read directly from it. Fulham Football Club is delighted to announce that Slavisa Jokanović has today signed a contract extension to remain as head coach of the club until 2019. Then going to read a couple quotes here. A couple from Slavisa and one from Tony Khan. These are from Slavisa. He said, quote, "I've made no secret of my desire to stay at Fulham and to continue the project that we have started. This is a fantastic club full of history and tradition, and I'm proud to be part of that and hopefully to add a little to the story. We have a squad of young and talented players all eager to play their part. As we grow together, I know that there is much more to come. We've built an identity our fans can relate to, which has brought us closer to our targets, which is exciting for the future of the club and for those fans who deserve to see the good times of elite football being played back at Craven Cottage again." Okay, those were quotes from Mr. Jokanović. Here is from Tony Khan. Quote, "My number one priority for months has been working toward an extension that keeps Slav at Fulham. I'm personally and professionally thrilled that we have an agreement with Slav, and I know Fulham supporters are right there with me. Slav has been sensational for Fulham, but he's far from satisfied, and that's just the ambition and direction we need to reach our goals. I look forward to working with Slav and a bright future for our club." Okay, those were quotes at the end from Tony Khan. All right, Mike, let's talk about this breaking news. I think this is the signing of the season. Your thoughts?
Well, it's certainly, you know, what we all wanted to hear, and I'll be the first to say that following the transfer window that particular evening, I didn't think we were going to see this day. So, you know, to get him for 2 years is excellent. You know, I think we would have all settled for at least another season. But so finally, hopefully we're entering that period of stability. We have a coach who's producing some fantastic football. We may not be quite there, you know, as a side that, you know, can make the playoffs, but, you know, we're giving it a damn good chance over the next couple of months. But, you know, for the long-term future of Fulham, be it in the Premier League, fingers crossed, but more likely the Championship next year, then, you know, it's an excellent signing. And I think, you know, we all moaned about January for sure, but if he was the only signing we made in January, many of us were saying, yeah, that will do, you know, let's just get us through to next year. So it's really good. And it's, you know, it's linked with the Tony Khan news as well, which we'll talk about in a minute. But, you know, it's very doubtful he would be staying if he wasn't happy with the setup or the processes in place. So despite the press reports at the end of the summer transfer window and his comments about how slow we are in the January window, his feeling must be that, you know, he can still produce what's required, which is a team to get us in the Premier League.
Okay, very good, Mike. Great take there. I want to go right back to you before I go to Yanis. It is a two-year extension. You said you would have been I wouldn't say happy, but a year would have been good. Do you think 2 years is a good amount of time, or would you have hoped that they got a longer term extension here?
I think in the modern game, you can't, you know, anything more than 2 years for a manager is very good. I mean, it protects us as well, you know, so any club that wants to come calling for him will have to pay a hefty fee as well, I would have thought. So it's a commitment, and he's a manager who's moved around a lot, you know, not always his decision, but you know, he's you know, he's committed to for the next 2 years with us. So personally, yeah, if he'd signed a year, I would have thought, yeah, that's fine, they're going to give it another go. But this allows both parties, the club and Jokanovic, to you know, not be totally rushed in doing everything. The pressure's there to get promotion, but hopefully it's a much more stable, long-term plan that we're going to have.
Okay, very good there, my friend. All right. Giannis, thoughts on the breaking news of Slavisa Jokanovic signing a 2-year extension?
Well, first, I was having a bit of a laugh that he kept referring to him as Slav. You know, at least give him some respect and call him by his full name, but there you go. I think it's jokes aside, I think it's excellent news. It really is. It brings some stability to the club. There have been a lot of media reports. We know that Slavisa wasn't happy with the transfer window in January, and we're still not sure how much of the residue is still there. I'm assuming he got a nice little pay raise to go with it as well. And I know that most of the fans will echo my thoughts that we're very happy that he's here. I mean, the climate around the club is like night and day compared to this time last year. We're competing in most, if not all, the games. I believe we've actually managed to secure at least a point in 75, was it 80% of the games this year. We're on a nice little run right now. We played well last night, and the stability will be good for players in the squad now, and also for players that maybe want to come in the close season, depending on where we finish up. So it's excellent news. It's been a good 24 hours, eh? Nice little win last night against a struggling team. And then this is, I think, this is outstanding news, because he's brought Slavisa's and his coaching staff have brought a breath of fresh air to the club, and long may it continue.
Absolutely. And Mike, I want to go back to you because you were talking about the relationship a little bit between Savisa and Tony Khan, that it probably had to be good, because why else would he be signing a 2-year extension? Let me just read this quote to you. I transcribed this from the video, from the article about Tony Khan, and this is a quote from Tony Khan along with a question from Ivan Barry. If you haven't watched the video, please do check out the video that's posted on the Fulham website. He was asked, "What is your relationship like with Slavisa?" Here was Tony Khan's response, Mike. Quote, "Very good. We have a great relationship. Slav and I are very close." What are your thoughts on that, Mike?
Well, I mean, it's you would hope so, considering he's basically taken over. What was it, football director of football operations? But really, it's director of football, easiest thing to say.
Sure.
I mean, it's essentially, I mean, I will say that I met Tony Khan on Tuesday at Fulham Sports Trust meeting with the club. He came in and gave a lot of his time explaining what he'd been doing over the last year, basically. And it's clear that he, Tony Khan, had a much larger role last summer than many of us knew about. He basically took over Riggs' role and was involved in all the 14 signings that came in last summer. So he would have worked with Jokanovic. And so maybe there were teething problems last summer. In January, they couldn't get the players they wanted for various reasons. But I will say that Tony Khan has said that there will be significant funds available in the summer. So, you know, hopefully that means he is going to fully back Jokanovic, and they will have to work closely together. But I go back to my initial point, is I don't believe Jokanovic would have signed a contract if he didn't feel that the relationship would work and the processes that we have in place will work, because his stock at the moment is very
Hi.
high. There
Yes.
will be other clubs wanting him, you know, for the style of football we're playing, for having a team near the top of championship. So, I think it has to sort of kill some of those, the comments and the views that he doesn't like the setup. He might not be 100%, happy with it. He might want sole control, but that's not going to happen. We have the systems in place and he has to work under it. So he must be accepting that, to a point. And, so their relationship must be, it's key, really. It's key if we're going to get the best out of Jokanović. We need to give him the tools, and it's going to be Tony Khan's job to do that.
Absolutely. They have to be on the same page, Mike. If they're not on the same page, we're going nowhere. So that's why I wanted to talk about this. Giannis, I want to get your thoughts on this because, transcribed that quote from Tony Khan, but Mike brought up a good point that I wanted to talk about anyways. He must feel comfortable enough to sign a 2-year extension with the club, knowing the setup. So I want to get your thoughts on it.
I think something's missing in all of this, to be honest, Russ. I mean, okay. Tony is, correct me if I'm wrong, he's the senior vice president of football technology and analytics at Jaguars, right? Jacksonville Jaguars, the NFL. That's my understanding is that is his official role. He's been in that role for 4.5 years. During his 4.5 years there, the Jaguars record is 17-63, which is a 27% yep. clip. Now, I did my calculations here, and if we translated that to what is happening in the championship, we would be Blackburn Rovers. It doesn't exactly fill me with glee. Now, I don't know on what basis the Jaguars decided to actually hire him in the first place, but we all know, you and I know, that the Jaguars are one of the laughing stocks of the NFL. Now, you translate that to what could be happening at our club. Vice Chairman and Director of Football Operations. Now, with your experience and, your passion for the New England Patriots, would you feel comfortable with having somebody in the same portfolio with a 27% winning percentage?
That's a great question.
And that's my point. Looking at this, if Brian Talbot had been made Vice Chairman and Director of Football Operations, that would not bother me. Because he had pedigree as a player, he's had pedigree as a coach, he's had pedigree as a scout. He does a lot of traveling around Europe looking at top games. He knows his stuff. But what experience does Tony Khan have to be a director of football operations at a championship club that hopes to get to the Premier League? And yet Slavisa strikes me as somebody who's extremely bright, intuitive, and smart, who knows his game. So his record and his philosophy and approach towards the game, to me, are the antithesis of the record of Tony Khan, both at Jacksonville and at Fulham. So there's something that we're missing here. What I will personally say is that if you look at the hiring of the appointments that were made today, the one that worries me the most, obviously, is Tony Khan, because I wouldn't want my plumber to fix my dog's left leg. And I don't feel comfortable with a non-football person in there claiming to help out, to run the operations for a multi-million dollar company that's over 140 years old, that promises to get us back in the Premier League when his experience, not just in football, is minimal, and his track record in the NFL is, frankly, appalling. So that's where I think there's something missing that we don't know about. And I'm not comfortable with that appointment. I'm elated that Slavisa is coming back. But the Tony Khan appointment scares me like my mother-in-law. It really
okay,
does.
Very good.
And so that's my take.
Okay. And listen, it's a fair take. And I'm glad that you brought up the situation with the Jaguars. It's a fair assessment there, Giannis. And I'm glad that you've now shared that. And I'm going to go to Mike in a second. But you asked my thoughts on it. And yes, his record does bring up red flags. But I'm going to go right back to you. He's actually been involved in the signings this summer and all of these signings, Giannis. So does that give you hope that maybe he's starting afresh with Fulham and that he's heading us in the right direction? Or does the fact that his history with the Jaguars supersede that a little bit or take precedent over that? Do you look at what's happened so far and give that a little thought as well?
My standpoint here is that one swallow doesn't make a summer. Okay. I mean, he's made some very good signings, don't get me wrong, but remember that a lot of these have been loan signings. The real proof of the pudding is going to be when we can actually sign, you know, we can sign more players on contract. What worried me was this transfer deadline window where really minimal was done. I mean, that Ciriak obviously came in, and Slavisa's musings about the lack of activity in the press in the transfer window wasn't him having a mere sulk about it. This is a professional coach with a discomfort level, but the lack of activity in a division where he feels that our team is there or thereabouts, that maybe we're one or two pieces away during a deadline of maybe nipping up and taking the final playoff spot. That hasn't suddenly disappeared. I cannot believe that for a moment. I think it's still there. Okay. If you give me a track record of a couple of years or so, and then maybe we might, then maybe I'd feel a little bit more comfortable. But when you look at, you know, employability, and when taking Tony Khan, for example, going back to the Jaguars, in which other franchise in the NFL would he have a hope in hell of getting a job in the same capacity? Maybe the Cleveland Browns, because they're terrible. And then by the same premise, if you look at our division, which we know is a tough division, where would he be able to get a job like that if it wasn't for the family connections? So I'm a proponent that when you've got, you're running a club like ours or any other club, I mean, Blackburn Rovers fans will tell you what's been happening with Venkies and the train wrecks that are going up in the Northwest. You want football people running football clubs. It makes a lot of sense. And so it's been pretty good so far, but I don't think it warrants him being given such an important portfolio in a year where we know we are close to getting back to where we want to be. I'm not sold on it.
Okay, fair enough, Giannis. I'm glad that you brought this all to the table. Mike, I want to go to you. I want to get your thoughts on what Giannis just shared, and he actually transitioned us really nicely to talk about the appointment of Tony Khan. Again, it's on the official Fulham website. Shar Khan, chairman of Fulham Football Club today, named Tony Khan as vice chairman and director of football operations effective immediately. So, Mike, I want to get your thoughts about this appointment and also the concerns of Giannis here and with his history with the Jacksonville Jaguars. I actually just went on the Jaguars website. It says Tony Khan, senior vice president of football technology and analytics. So that's his title with the Jaguars. What are your thoughts about what everything that Giannis just brought to the table, and also your thoughts about the appointment?
Yeah, okay. I mean, what Giannis says is probably what every football and Fulham fan really thinks, I suppose, is that, you know, here is what we would consider a non-football person. So when we talk about that, what do we mean? Do we want an ex-footballer in charge? Do we want an ex-manager? Well, we did have the ex-FA talent person in Mike Rigg in charge for a little while in what was considered to be possibly one of our worst summers, which was 2 years ago, when you look back at the actual players we signed. And so, you know, I will be clear that you know, last summer it was all Tony Khan said in the meeting I was in, and he has also said in other messages to myself that basically he took over that role last year, and transfer wise, it was you know, his process of being in charge, almost like a director of football. Basically, Rigg moved to one side, and he was doing that role untitled now. You know, yes, his dad is the owner, and you know, you have all the nepotism and that kind of stuff. And he hasn't got the qualifications, if you like, for this particular role, but he has been given it. And you know, we have to. I think the Brian Talbot announcement, which has gone pretty much unrecognized.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that.
It's very important.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think that's that. You know. Somebody else in is here, someone to talk to about the intricacies of, you know, of a football club and that kind of thing. Tony Khan is very confident in the systems he has in place, both the analytics and the scouting side. I will say one thing he said about his role at the Jags is that, you know, again, his dad's the owner there, but they they have not bought in totally to his analytics processes, his company, and he's, you know, he's, although his dad owns it, the actual football side, this is what he was telling me the other day, so I, you know, can only say what he said, is that they, you know, they are not using the processes that he would prefer them to do. So a lot of talk about the way the Jags do stuff, you know, I have to wonder how much of that is true. But you know, it's we're into the unknown, and now he's there for full title. The responsibility is his. He's, if you like, been hidden away in the background for the majority of last summer and this season. But having met him, he's clearly enthusiastic, and he has caught that Fulham bug, that we all catch. And, you know, loves the ground, loves the training ground, loves the family atmosphere, the fans, just, you know, even though the abuse he gets, he, you know, he said that to me. And he's, and that's what we need. You know, all this talk about an absentee owner, you know, well, his son is now here in this role. He's going to be spending, you know, the majority of the time here. So with that, you would also think, you know, if this is his proper first proper role and job in one of these supporting, in one of these sporting, you know, companies that his dad owns, he's going to want to make a bloody good job of it. So, you know, fingers crossed it's going to work that way. But, you know, we will see. And this summer will be a massive test, you know, whatever league we're in. And, but no, he hasn't got the qualifications if you look at it like that. But we've gone down that route and it didn't work. We went down the route of a manager who was a Fulham person. That didn't work. So who, you know, nobody knows anything, as someone once said.
Okay, very good there, Mike. And let's transition. Ross? Oh, I'm sorry, Yanis. You want me to go to you? Go ahead.
I agree with what Micah said. I mean, the enthusiasm, I'm enthusiastic after a second date, but it doesn't mean the girl's got to trust me in the first place. But when he said about not completely buying into analytics, as he said, what he's basically done is he's thrown the last three Jaguars head coaches under the bus, Malarkey, Bradley and Marone, because he's basically saying, okay, the reason we've only won 16, 17 games in the last 5 years is because we've not, you know, because the head coaches and the coaching staffs haven't bought into it. Well, that's not the way it works. And this isn't, you know, this isn't because daddy owns the club and he's, you know, I'm going to give my little boy a little job. This is a serious business. You know, I almost think that when you put somebody in with a lack of experience like that in, it almost bastardizes the organization, because you're taking the piss out of the fans. The fans expect better. They don't, as I said to you, I wouldn't want a plumber operating on my dog. You want people who know what they're doing and know what they're doing, have the experience and have the pedigree. If this is his first role in it, well, here's a thought. Make him the assistant. Make him learn. Make him, you know, watch and do what Bella, you know, you won't know well enough, Russ, how many offensive and defensive coordinators Belichick has trained that have become head coaches in the NFL. He could follow the same format as an assistant that can watch the system, learn and grow about the game, and so that he gets the necessary experience so that one day down the line he could fill that post. Not just to stick him in there and he hasn't got the experience. It smells like five rats that I left on the table for 6 months. It doesn't feel right. And I don't care how enthusiastic he is. We're all enthusiastic. Nobody's more enthusiastic than us as fans. But to put someone like him, you know, the son of the owner, in such a big position, again, I keep thinking Venky's. And we don't want to go down that road. I mean, poor Blackburn look like they're going to go down. I feel so sorry for their fans because they've got a bunch of stiffs who know nothing about it. And I know the thing about what Mike said about the absentee owners, he's absolutely right on this. But as I said, I'm big on let's get qualified people. And if he's that keen on that position, he should make himself an assistant and let someone like Talbot take the reins and then follow the lead and then gain from the experience. And so that if he does step into those shoes, he knows what to do.
That's a very interesting analysis, Yanis, because while you were talking about that, I was thinking about Bill Belichick and how he grooms all of his assistants. They start from the bottom and they work their way up. And that's what you're kind of talking about here.
Yes, yes, I am.
Working
yep,
your
exactly
way
it
up instead of starting at the top. Is that kind of the point you're trying to make?
That's
here?
Exactly.
I actually see that.
You've nailed it. That's exactly what it is. Because to be fair, if you're working in an organization and somebody walks in and takes the top job and you know that they know sweet F all about the game, you know that, I know that, the players know that, you're probably looking and going, are you kidding me? Are you having me on? And then you find out that, of course, he's the son of the owner. And, of course, you roll your eyes. So, you know, there's something to be said. There's credibility. I think that's what it is. It's credibility. And as great a decision it is that Slavisa is back, I'm not pleased with this appointment at all. I just think that he should have come in at a lower position. And then maybe you could say, well, he's learning the ropes. But who is he to come in such a position with such a portfolio to be director of football operations at this club? Who is he? Has he even kicked a ball in anger? Has he coached? Has he administered? What's he done?
Hang on a minute, Yanis. We know ourselves that, you know, managers, some of the best managers have not kicked a football in anger. So,
okay, fair enough.
You know, that argument doesn't really stand up, does it? You know, I mean, I'm not here to back him at all, but, you know, the old sort of, really grates me because I've had it at Fulham where I've been speaking to a chairman and, you know, he turns around and he says, look, you've never played the game. All you've done is ever watch. You know nothing. So, you know, that whole attitude stinks. Now, whatever you think about Khan and him as a, you know, as a person coming in this role, you say, you know, they've owned the club for what, 3 years now, and he right. has been involved at levels. So he watched listening to him, he watched the transfer, you know, transfers in 2015, saw what happened there, was involved at that stage with the analytics as well, and they recommended one player then another, and they tested the water, if you like. So he's always been there in the background. And then, like I say, last summer, he took it over completely. And, you know, because he saw the traditional way of doing things didn't work for us. Now, yes, last summer has worked for us. January, you know, we're not happy with the two that come in. Now, whether that's financial, you know, we couldn't get the answer the other day. But, you know, out of 16 players, maybe three haven't worked, or one of them's been injured as well. So he has, in a way, sort of been sitting there watching things happen, being involved slowly but surely with, you know, first Matilla, then Medel, and then all the guys last year. So he's been working in that football side. But let's not forget that, you know, he's got this fancy title. He's, you know, he's there. He is now literally the eyes and ears of his dad, the actual owner of the club. And but he has to, do not overestimate what the role that Talbot, I suspect, is going to have. I don't believe Khan is there, you know, looking at every little coach and everything that's going on. It's going to be Talbot, I suspect, who's going to be running the football side of things. And Tony will be concentrating on the transfer side and the player side of the club. And you know, from the youngsters upwards, assessing all of them, and I think that's my hope. I suppose that's what I'm pinning my hope on. I do not see him making big, massive football decisions because, you know, apart from, if you like, the transfer side, everything else, the way the club, the infrastructure, the training ground, everything, I suspect that's going to be Talbot's baby, and he's going to deal with that. But you know, I do understand everyone's reservations about this, and I haven't. Some of them my own as well, but you know, we are where we are. But I really don't like the argument you've never ever played the game. You need to lean on people, and I suspect Talbot is going to be that person he leans on.
Okay, and Mike, back to you.
Well, Ross.
Oh, I'm sorry. Ross, go ahead.
I was going to say, look, most fans have kicked a ball in anger, right? So, I mean, I'll accept that premise, Mike. I mean, that's fair enough. But the arguments sound wishy-washy, because to me, it's just the notion of, well, he's been around, he's hung around, he's looked around. How on earth does that pre-qualify him to run the football operations. I mean, I'm sure he has kicked a ball. I'm sure he might have coached a house league game. He might, fine, okay, fair enough. He's watched football on the TV. Yeah, he's mingled with a few fans in a pub. But how does that qualify him to run a football club?
I think you're overreacting to the title. Okay, I think that everything is not black and white. Just because he's taken that title, and a lot of people just take the title because it looks good. And yeah, it looks good. He's in charge of football. But like I say, I don't really believe he is. But what you have to understand is, I think it's the transfer side, the squad side, which he is dealing with, and it is the two-box system is here to stay. It was used on every player last year, the two in January, and it will be used going forward, no exceptions. This is what he said in the meeting. So I think that's where his focus is going to be. And, I understand completely about maybe giving Talbot the main title and him being the assistant, but in the end, the roles would not work that way. You know, he is the son's owner. He is the owner's son. And, everyone knows that. And so that wouldn't change. But it's the analytics side. It's the stats side. That's where he's dealing with, along with the scouts and with Talbot next to him. And, it's a really tough one. I do understand your arguments.
Yeah. Giannis, back to you. While you guys were talking about it, I was thinking about another analogy, because I understand your Belichick analogy. I'm going to give you another one, because Mike was bringing up that you don't need to basically be a football man. I'm sorry, Mike, if I'm just putting it that way, or know the game, kick a ball. Theo Epstein started with the Boston Red Sox. He was more on the analytics side, but he took control of the Red Sox, and then he took control of the Chicago Cubs. And both teams have now won World Series championships. So in that essence, him not having that experience didn't stop those two teams from succeeding their goals. So I understand where Mike is coming on this as well, Giannis.
But Theo Epstein wasn't the owner's son.
Okay.
And that's my thing. I mean, Epstein was he was the youngest GM in Major League Baseball. He was in probably arguably the toughest market with the Red Sox. And he worked. He really worked from the bottom up to get where he got, and
did an incredible job.
As a scout, yeah, he started as a scout. And he did a fantastic job to Boston, and then he went to the Cubs, and he did the unthinkable and brought them their first World Series in 108 years. I just think that it's almost part of me saying, why is it even necessary for him to be part of the setup? Is it because his dad needs to find him a job? I know I'm going to get a lot of flack for this. I just think that I don't believe that our club needs to be shortchanged. I don't believe we need to be second changed. I believe we deserve the best. And I believe, the Talbot hiring, I think, is very good, because I've got a ton of respect for him.
Right.
I just feel that it feels to me that it's, daddy's found a way to give his little boy another job. And based on the record of what he has done in Northeast Florida, I'm not hopeful, because I think I'd possibly have more success operating on small animals than he's had at Jacksonville. And I'm not a vet. Okay. So I hope I'm wrong.
Okay.
I hope I'm wrong, but his record is not stellar.
Okay.
And look what's happened recently. I mean, look at the deadline, the transfer deadline in January.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a mess. We can all agree that didn't go according to plan.
That definitely did not, Giannis. I want to take us in a little bit different direction. You guys have already been talking about the other two people involved here. There's Brian Talbot, who's now assistant director of football operations and chief scout. But also, Craig Klein is now assistant director of football operations and director of statistical research. And Mike, I want to go to you, because I think this is basically showing us a little better of a picture of what's been going on here with the two-check system. You have one side, which is analytical, and you have another side, which is scouting. So let's talk about these two appointments as well, because I think it's the way that they're doing it. And tell me if I'm wrong. It sounds like checks and balances because both sides have to agree.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, we discussed this before. So, as I say, was told to us in the meeting the other day, the two checkbox system is in place. It will not go away. There will be no exceptions, and every player last summer was signed on it. So you have whatever way the player appears, whether it be it from Jokanović, be it from a scout, from an agent, from the tea lady, whoever, the player arrives on the desk and they do a scouts report and they do a stats report. And scouts will, shout up a player and the stats people will shout up a player as well. But they need to pass both those systems. Both boxes need to be ticked. That then goes to Jokanović. Are you interested in this player? Yes or no? And then if that's okay, then it's passed to the finances side and, can they afford him? Is it possible to do a deal? And they go forward that way. So, and this goes back to what I said about Jokanović. He must, despite he probably has reservations about this way of doing things, but he knows that's the rules and he has signed up a
Yeah.
2 year contract on it. So, and this has been fully in place since last summer. I don't think I'm breaking any sort of confidentiality rules here, but the first player we signed on this system was Matilla. It was a little bit of a test case, didn't work out. The second one they signed was Medel. I did learn that Simon's turned down Medel,
Interesting.
even though it was turned up, even though he was noted as this person, he's being flagged up as a very good player. But then they signed him last January on loan, and so that was the second player in on that system. And then, like I say, all the players last year came through that system as the two in January. Now, by going down this route, does it stop us getting certain players? I'm sure it does. And I'm sure it stops it from both sides. Maybe a stats gets throws at one player and the scouts say, well, no, it doesn't really fit what we want. And the same way from Jokanović saying, I like this player, but if the stats say no or the scouting says no, then that isn't going to work. That's not going to go through either. And of course, you have the finances side as well. And then
Right.
the ultimate veto is Jokanović. He can say no.
Correct.
So that's the way it's meant to work. Now, Craig Klein, he's had lots of press. No one can find a photo of the guy, I don't think. He's been kicked out of the ground, sent home, whatever stories you want to hear about. But the fact is, he's at Motspur Park. He was there on Tuesday. It's his, he runs the analytics side of the operation. And it's here to stay as long as the Khans own the club, and we are going to have to get used to it. I can only say what I've been told, and that is that the system they have, what it throws up, is very good, and it's a model. Most clubs use variations on it. But it's the modern way of finding a player, and it's unusual for us. And you can say, oh, they're just playing a massive computer game, but it's a little bit more than that, and it's a little bit more deeper, I think.
Okay, very good. Giannis, I want to get your thoughts on these appointments as well. You've already talked a little bit about Brian Talbot, but we also have to mention Craig Klein because they both represent different sides of the coin. So talk about both of these appointments.
Well, I come from the angle that too many cooks spoil the broth. Too many voices. One of the concerns I have is who has final say and jurisdiction over a signing. Is it collective? What happens if you've got two versus two? Who has the deciding? Who has what I call the Mike Pence vote on Betsy DeVos? Who has that deciding vote? Okay, that's number one. Number two, something, we have had obviously a lot of developments in the last 5 months. I'm going to go back to something that Slava Slavisa said in August. this was about Klein. He said, I'm a little disappointed because no one knows who this guy is. Instead, he's sitting in the director's box. I want to take responsibility for how I work with my team and how they perform, but I'm not part of the recruitment process. It is in the hands of people who believe they're more prepared. I've lost many players in the process in 9 months. In the last 2 days, I lost a few players who he believes, obviously Klein, are not good enough. So what happens, for example, so clearly there were concerns 5 months ago. How many of those concerns have been alleviated? I don't know. Who makes the final call on a potential signing? This is all this faffing and all this nonsense about, you know, when you got this, the cook spoiling the broth. That's probably why there was so much inactivity in the transfer deadline, because they couldn't agree between the bloody lot of them. And that becomes a thing. You know, there's the one thing about, I understand that, and you have to respect the process of analytics, and in terms of the decision making, you go out to a squad and you got to go out and scout and do the A, B, C, D, E, F, G. But there's also a time factor, and time is always of the essence, and there's always a scarcity. When that transfer window opens up, you should have scouted the player beforehand. But if we're sitting around like headless chickens in the last 3 hours, trying to put paperwork in because we've not got our you-know-what in order, it looks rather sloppy. And that manifested itself in terms of the reaction to Slavisa to the January transfer deadline, and actually the reaction of the fans as well. So my concerns are twofold. Firstly, who makes the final call? And secondly, you know, Klein can do whatever he wants and however he wants, but you've now got four people here deciding who's going to come in, who doesn't, coming from opposite sides of the fences. You know, is this a marriage made in heaven in terms of the viability of, you know, purchasing or loaning players? And I'm not so sure it is, because I think it adds another bureaucratic step to the process. And as fans, we get impatient come transfer deadline if we're sitting around going, where the players come from. And Slavisa clearly echoed that frustration with his comments after the recent transfer deadline.
Mike, I want to go back to you because you just mentioned that you've already kind of discussed who was the final call there.
Yeah, I'm struggling why Yanis doesn't understand it. You know, ultimately, Jukanović has the final call on saying, yes, I accept this player, okay? And then it goes to the finances. So, you know, it will get stopped. It gets stopped because the player fails the scouting test. It gets stopped if he fails the stats test. Passes both of those, goes to Jukanović. Jukanović says yes or no. Says yes, goes to the finance side. You know, I mean, it's so Jukanović has the final say. He doesn't have the final say on saying, right, I want Costa from Chelsea. You know, like, you know, so let's say I want Costa from Chelsea and, you know, because the finances would say no.
Right.
But, you know, that's, you know, we are not giving control of building a team to one person. And I'm actually in favour of that, because the last manager who had complete control over picking a team built a squad to get relegated. And that's what happened. And that was Martin Jol in the summer of 2013. So
that's a great point, Mike.
This is why we have this system. This is why I've always been in favour of a director of football, you know, or someone to oversee that type of stuff. And like I say, even though he's got that kind of title, Khan, I don't actually believe it's that type of role. But so the final vote, the final call for a player is Jukanović to say yes or no, I want him. But what he can't say is, I want that player. No matter what, you know, he can't say that.
Okay, Yanis, your thoughts on what Mike just shared?
Okay, fair enough. Then if that's the case, and if Slavisa has the final call over the player, then I'm comfortable with that. That then begs the question: why is Tony Khan there in the first place?
Okay.
So if he's just there to act as a, you know, as a window fixture. Why don't we go out and find someone who is objective to the ownership, who can bring experience to the table and work with Mr. Klein and Mr. Tolbert and Slavisa. And then if that's the way you want to go, you've got a lot more experience at the table, as opposed to you know, client has some experience, obviously, with the analytics and told what we know, and Slavisha, we know. Why not bring strength in terms of numbers by bringing more experience in?
But why do you need that, Yanis? That's why I'm, but Yanis, you don't need that. Basically, I've said Klein will be running, he runs the analytics department. Khan runs the analytics department. Klein is the number cruncher, and they produce that side of it. The scouts, which also, you know, Khan is overseeing along with Talbot, you know, they both produce those reports. So you don't need, even more people is not going to change that process, because it has to pass, a player has to pass both bits for it to be passed on to Jokanović. So, you know, yeah, is there implementing this system? Let's not, you know, mix anything about this. This statistical system is in place because of Tony Khan. That is it. Because they want to, what was the word he used? They want to limit the errors that have been made in the past, you know, with regard to certain signings. So, you know, that is the process. It, you know, anyone else, any more people will just do exactly what you said, which is, like, you know, too many cooks.
Giannis?
No, well, of course, you know, getting a college degree from Illinois qualifies in it and running an analytics team for Championship Club. I know, Mike, I greatly, greatly respect everything you've got to say. I just think it just smells of rats. You know, you've got the owner's son in there. I don't like it. I'm not comfortable with it. I'm, as I said before, I'm ecstatic that Slavisa is back. I'm delighted that Talbot is part of this, because I think he's got tremendous respect and credibility in the game. I really, honestly, have no idea why Khan is there. I don't. To me, it's just justification to give the owner's son a job on the basis of what? Because he's got a business degree? I'm not seeing it. I'm not buying it. And as I said, the old notion about what have you done for me lately? If you look at what, again, let's go back, turn the clock back a month, and you saw what happened, and it was too much faffing about. It was too much faffing about when there were players out there that we could have picked up, that one or two might have put us over the top, at least give us some strength and depth. And it was that, I don't know whether it was the hesitation or there was just the duplication of the bureaucracy, whatever it was. Now, I hope, personally, Mike, I hope he shoves my comments up my you-know-what, and I hope I'm proved very badly and sadly wrong, because nothing would give me greater pleasure than he does that. I'm just saying that, you know, the appointments, you might be right about in terms of it just being a portfolio, that it's just a title. My discomfort level is in terms of his experience and his track record, not just so much at Fulham, but also this side of the pond as well, which hasn't exactly been stellar. You have to show, it's like Missouri, right? It's the show me state. So you've got to show us as fans. And, you know, he can talk as much as he wants, much bollocks as he wants, but he will have to, you know, I'm not even totally convinced he's won over Slavisa, to be honest. But I think he's probably got a nice little nest egg 2-year contract. And if that's what they offered him, then I'm delighted.
Okay. Very interesting. From both of you, you guys both have brought some things to really think about. Food for thought for me. I'll tell you, I'll be leaving this episode thinking about both of your comments, because my head's spinning a little bit. This has been very interesting, both of you going back and forth with your thoughts on this. But let's wrap this thing up. By instead of getting final thoughts, I'm going to give each one of you final say on the breaking news, all of it, of Tony Khan, of Slavisa Jokanović. Giannis, I'll start with you. This is your final say of everything that we've talked about today.
Slavisa, as I said, I'm ecstatic. He's done so much good for this club. He's made us all even prouder to be part of this club. And I will say that I'm extremely critical of those fans who decided to jump off cliffs after the Spurs game on Sunday. We were beaten by a better side who had the class of putting out probably their strongest lineup. That's how seriously they took us and they took the FA Cup. It wasn't a disgrace to lose to them. The sign of a good team and a good coaching staff is how you bounce back from adversity. Slavisa showed that with the lineup he had last night and with the performance. We're on a roll. He's been fabulous so far, so I'm delighted with that. And the Talbot. The Khan, I've said everything I need to say. And the climb one makes sense. We'll see where it goes from here. Onwards and upwards, we've got Cardiff City down in Wales this weekend, and I'm hopeful we can get 3 points and just keep us sniffing and keep us, you know, close in terms of the headlights or the rearview mirror of Sheffield Wednesday, Leeds and the like.
Okay, very good. Mike, over to you, your final say.
It's been a really good show, and
constructive.
We all want the best for Fulham, right? Yeah.
Yes.
And we all want the best for Fulham, and I've probably come across as a bit of an apologist, and that's not what I'm trying to do. It's trying to understand where we are, why we've arrived here, and you hope for the best. I think everyone's intentions are right. I do think Tony has given himself some support with regards to Talbot, and he has got last summer behind him. He has taken a lot of credit for that. January is a little bit of a black mark, but we will see in the summer. But I go back, no matter how much Jokanović has been offered and being paid, I just don't believe the situation he's in at the moment, he would have accepted a 2-year contract on the basis that it's just money led. So he's going to accept the situation we're in and the process that they're going to use. And it's worked this season. So let's hope, it carries on into the next as well.
Okay, very good. Very good.
Hurrah.
Both of you. I'm sorry, Yas, do you have something else you wanted to add?
I was going to say, I absolutely agree with Mike on this, absolutely. And we do want what's best for the club. It's been a great debate. We're both passionate. We want us to kick ass and rock. And anything that can be done for this club that will do it is what it's all about. And, it's good to have constructive discussion. You know, it's what makes fans the way they are, right? We still love our club, whether we disagree or agree or whatever.
Okay, very good. All right. Great stuff. My final say just involves, first of all, I think it's excellent news that Fulham have signed Jokanović until 2019. I think this is great news. To Mike's point, the fact that he has signed it tells me that he might not, love every part of what's going on, but he accepts it. That's the way I see it. That's just my point of view. I don't know. I'm not Slavisa, but by the fact that he has decided to stay on longer tells me he understands this is what it's going to be, and he's accepting it. So that's the way I look at it. In regards to the situation with Tony Khan, Yanis, you've opened up my eyes. You got me thinking about it. But, Mike, you got me thinking about it as well. And this has been, I think, a very constructive debate about Tony Khan and how things are running. And I think it's important to have a forum that allows both of you guys and our other co-hosts to express their point of view so we can think about it afterwards. But in the end, like you guys have both said, we're all Fulham supporters and we want the best. So I want Tony Khan to succeed. I want the organization, the club, to succeed. So in the end, I'm going to be thinking about this more, but I want the club to succeed. So if the club succeeds, Tony Khan succeeds, we all succeed. So let's just see how this whole thing plays out. All right, guys, great show, fantastic show. But it is time to wrap this up. For Yanis Shanaeus and Mike Gregg, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk.